Welcome back to part two of our two-part series describing the top 10 cryptocurrencies, their uses, as well as their prices. And if you were with us last week, you know we ended with a brief description of Bitcoin Cash, describing how it's primarily the original Bitcoin's little brother. Some of the same people who developed the Bitcoin, the original Bitcoin, are the developers of the Bitcoin Cash coin. And the reason why we have the two coins is at a certain point, certain people within that network or that developer community wanted to make changes to the code, and certain other people did not want to make changes to the original code. So the people who did want to make changes made changes, and there was initiated what's called a hard fork, meaning changes were made to the code to start a whole new process. Much of the code is the same, but there are differences made in the code for specific purposes. And the primary purpose of the Bitcoin Cash coin is to be able to initiate more transactions in a shorter period of time. On average, Bitcoin Cash coin can initiate something like 50 to 60 transactions per second, and the original Bitcoin is somewhere between 7 to 10 transactions per second. So that was the original issue. Certain people wanted to be able to make more transactions in a shorter period of time, and for that reason, we have Bitcoin Cash. The other significant difference between the two coins, even though they're built on the same platform using a lot of the same code, is the per coin price. Original Bitcoin is trading over $7,000 per coin presently, and Bitcoin Cash is somewhere a little over $200 per coin. So, moving on to our next coin on the list, we have a coin called EOS, E-O-S, and it's trading a little over $2.70. And it's, if you remember our description of Ethereum and us mentioning that Ethereum was primarily concerned with initiating smart contracts, the ability to basically initiate smart contracts between peers, between businesses, whereby in a transaction, if certain milestones are met, certain aspects of the contract would be initiated. And the EOS coin is, again, much like the Ethereum coin, it actually wasn't developed till around late 2017, so it's considered a young coin, but considering it's on the top 10 list, indicates that a significant amount of people within the cryptocurrency ecosystem believe in its use value. So it's on our top 10. Moving on to a coin called Stellar. And Stellar is, well, the actual name of it is called Stellar Lumens. And it's concerned with making payments in the fastest amount of time available. So as opposed to Bitcoin Cash wanting to make something like 60 transactions per second, Stellar Lumens coin was developed for much of the same reasons. It wanted to allow its users to initiate rapid transactions with relatively low fees, you know, and us knowing, if you've done online transactions, you know that there are fees involved in making transactions with money, or in the common sense, it's, you can look at it as a tax. Anytime you utilize cryptocurrencies, there is some type of fee involved. And Stellar Lumens Besides the speed of its transactions, it's mainly known for its low transaction fees. So those people looking to make investments in a cryptocurrency whose real world purpose is to initiate super fast transactions. And Stellar Lumens is trading around 45 cent per coin. And remember, I mentioned in our last episode that for coins or tokens that are priced as low as, in the cents or a few dollars per coin, the actual company may require that you purchase $35 to $45 worth of that coin. It just makes sense. I mean, who would purchase one coin for 45 cents? So if you were interested in purchasing Stellar, then you would basically be spending $35 to $45, and that cryptocurrency would be loaded into your wallet and you could make purchases. Okay, the next coin on our list is a coin called Litecoin. And Litecoin actually was developed from the original Bitcoin's blockchain. A lot of the code in the Litecoin system is the Bitcoin blockchain. And it's considered silver to Bitcoin's gold. They're so closely connected because of the code that it's just considered the more affordable coin on the Bitcoin blockchain. And primarily it's concerned with, of course, faster transactions. And some say that transactions on the Litecoin blockchain usually is four times faster than the original Bitcoin's transaction rate. And other than the speed of transaction, Litecoin is known as having lower fees. So these things are important. You know, Bitcoin being the granddaddy of Bitcoin of cryptocurrencies, of course advances would be made to the overall technology behind it. So a lot of coins that are built with the code of the original Bitcoin, the coins that are hard forked and broken away, they still have the same DNA as the original Bitcoin, but changes have been made in the code in order to allow for, number one, speed of transaction, lower transaction fees, and affordability. At this point, again, for the everyday investor or the everyday working person, unless one has a 401k, purchase of a Bitcoin is not on the radar. So a lot of the coins that came after Bitcoin that use a lot of the Bitcoin code, number one, they offer advancements in the original technology, but they also offer that affordability. So that's the main thing, that's the main difference between the coins at this point in the development of cryptocurrencies in general. They're just making changes that increase the usability as well as the affordability of this technology. But getting back to Litecoin, Litecoin is trading somewhere around $42 per coin. And again, it's considered the silver to Bitcoin's gold. It's like the more affordable Bitcoin, so to speak. And finally, we come to our last two coins, and the first of which is a coin called Tether. And what's interesting about Tether is actually considered a stable coin. And what that basically means is the per coin price of Tether is pegged to a real world commodity, such as gold, silver, and in this case, Tether is tied to the US dollar. So it's considered a stable coin because it's pegged or tied to something that's considered stable. But remember, way back in our first or second episode, we mentioned that in the early 70s, the US was taking off the gold standard, which basically meant, as opposed to prior to that time, the US dollar was tied to real world assets such as gold, silver, natural resources. In the early 70s, I think it was 70, 71, we were taking off the gold standard. And basically, up from that date to this one, the US dollar is basically, its value is determined by trust, what we believe the US dollar is worth, what the world believes the US dollar is worth. And a lot of the critics of cryptocurrency say, well, it's not tied to anything. I mean, how can you just create something of value? But in a roundabout way, that's the same thing that's going on with the US dollar. It's not tied to anything other than what people believe in their mind that it's worth. So Tether is tied to the US dollar, so it's considered a stable coin. And it's built on its own blockchain. And as opposed to, you know, with a lot of cryptocurrencies, you have to exchange your cryptocurrency for a US dollar in order to spend it. With the Tether coin, because it's already tied to the US dollar, basically you can just spend it. You can just make online purchase without the exchange of that coin for a dollar or another fiat currency. Well, specifically the dollar. You don't have to exchange it for a dollar in order to buy something online. And right now, the Tether coin is trading a little bit over $1 per coin. So, yes, because it's tied to $1, presently is trading at $1. And it's been stated that the Tether coin, this particular stable coin, people tend to be suspicious of any cryptocurrency that's tied to a real world asset such as gold, silver, or the US dollar. But again, it's all a matter of perception to me. If I can create a cryptocurrency and it develops value based upon how many people believe it has value, what would make the Tether coin so suspicious if it's tied to a US dollar? So again, this whole thing, everything is about perception. You have a lot of major investors, even Warren Buffett, who says that cryptocurrency is a fad. It's a passing fad in the financial world. Obviously, it's not. I mean, there are people actually making millions with cryptocurrency. Yes, there have been scams, just like there have been scams with the use of the dollar. and with any other currency. If somebody intends to use cryptocurrency for nefarious reasons, they'll find a way, just as they have for decades with the US dollar and every other currency. So again, back to Tether. It's considered a stable coin and is tied to the fluctuation of the US dollar. And the overall goal of this of the Tether coin is not to allow its value to drop below $1. And there are other stable coins that are tied to the US dollar. There are some coins that are tied presently to the price of silver and gold. So it's just a matter of where you want to get in and start experimenting and investigating this new technology, this new way of doing business, this new money. So we come to our next coin, and it's called Monero. And basically, Monero, just like the other coins, is a cryptocurrency, but it's primarily concerned with privacy. Remember in one of our previous episodes, I mentioned how one could go to Bitcoin's blockchain, Ethereum's blockchain, any blockchain, and view transactions taking place on the blockchain. You wouldn't see names or addresses or things that nature. You would see the public address keys of the people making the transactions. But Monero, it's primarily concerned with privacy. The developers of this particular currency believe that one should have the choice as to whom views their transaction, and no one has the right, unless that right is given, to view peer-to-peer transactions. So Monero is primarily built for privacy. It's built for privacy and the ability to make transactions without it being viewed. Now again, going back to our previous coin, which is Tether, where I mentioned that people tend to be suspicious of certain coins for certain reasons. There's suspicion, you know, around the Monero coin, because why do you want to make transactions in secret? Why don't you want to make your, you know, transactions available to anyone wanting to observe them on the blockchain, which was a primary reason the blockchain, this whole digital economy, was created, was for peer-to-peer transactions, open source. Nobody could dominate the coin, and privacy at the initial stages wasn't a concern. It was just the whole system was built as an alternative to the financial system that we have now. So now we have coins that are primarily concerned with privacy, and I can personally see the reason. I mean, I personally reserve the right to make private transactions. I don't necessarily want people to see what I'm doing all the time. So I understand the desire for privacy. You may be dealing with financial institutions, investment companies, or your personal own bank account. I mean, you still should have the choice about who views your transactions. So I understand the idea behind the privacy part. And Monero is trading a little over $50 per coin. And its primary function is privacy, the ability to conduct transactions in the crypto ecosystem without people being able to just look and see everything that's going on. And finally, we come to our last coin, and it's called IOTA. And IOTA is basically, it's considered a different kind of coin. And it's not necessarily built on top of a blockchain. It's built on top of what's called a DAG. And that's acronym for Directed Acrylic Graph. And it's considered it's a lot of technical language behind it, but basically they call this type of system a tangle as opposed to a blockchain, which allows the system to have zero fees in their transactions, as well as rapid transactions, as well as this particular ecosystem grows, they're able to scale the community. Certain blockchains have problems with being able to grow with the growth or the interest in that particular blockchain. So some blockchains have a problem with growing. Actually, Bitcoin has a problem with growing, as well as Ethereum. And IOTA is one of those blockchains. Well, not necessarily, it's not actually called a blockchain. It's called a DAG or a tangle chain. And it's built for scaling. They want the ability to immediately be able to scale their system based upon the interests of outside people. And they're also concerned with having zero fees and quick transactions. So we've come to the end of our top 10. And again, keeping to our primary purpose, which is to simplify the technical language surrounding cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. What I've found in my short time of podcasting with this particular subject in particular is simplifying the technical language and making it accessible to anyone listening. One could easily just stay in the technical on the technical side of this subject and describe it as such, but I believe that defeats the purpose of what this new technology hopes to achieve, which is to simplify and improve the day-to-day lives of the day-to-day person. Now, a lot of my friends, what I observe is there's a lot of discussion around Bitcoin. Whenever cryptocurrency is spoken of, Bitcoin is the starting point. When, in my personal opinion, I don't believe at this point, because of Bitcoin's price point, that it's going to serve much purpose for the lay person, the working person, other than being a part of their investment portfolio. So my goal is, our goal here is to, again, simplify this technology and we hope to spark an interest in and see where this technology can play a part in your day-to-day life, whether it's an investment, whether it's creation, or whether it's a combination of both. Coming to the end of this episode, we hope that we provided you with some basic information that you can use regarding the top 10 cryptocurrencies. As always, we mentioned, if you have any suggestions on how we can improve, or if there's a specific subject that you would like us to speak about regarding blockchain technology as well as cryptocurrency, or if you would like to make a donation, you can visit us at anchor.fm/peer-to-peer and make a donation. Or you can email us at peertopeerpodcast@gmail.com. That's peer2peerpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and that's peer2peerpodcast. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.